sports in the afternoon from Calgary, Alberta. This is The Big Show, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Not really golf music. It's the Doughboy Bruce Dobigan with you on The Big Show. This is The Big Show, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because last time I was here, I had to remember about Hockey Central.
We had to write about four shows down.
Yeah. And because the older I get, I have to be reminded more often. That's whacked fine. Upside the head. Yeah, Bruce Dobigan with you. Filling in this afternoon for I don't know who's missing. Somebody. Somebody didn't show up, so I'm here. We'll get you through the day. Rob Kerr joins us at 2 o'clock, which will hopefully save everything. We won't lose the entire audience in an hour. Lots of golf, because I think, well, it's not hockey season, so it must be golf season. If we're not skating, we're playing hockey. We're playing golf, rather. Open Championship ending yesterday. Rory McIlroy, we're going to talk about that in a second. Canadian Open this week. They're down at Royal Montreal in, guess where? Montreal! Well, actually, it's not even on the island. It's off the island of Montreal, but they call it Royal Montreal. It's going to be a great tournament. Lots of big names coming in. There still has not been a Canadian win the Canadian Open since 1954. And how long ago was that? That's the year I was born. That's how long ago this was, 1954. So we'll be looking forward to that. And, of course, golf fans in Canada, at least in Calgary, excited, of course. Next month, the Champions Tour comes in for the Shaw Classic, and we'll get Freddie Couples and all those kind of people. A little later in the hour, I love Freddie Couples. He's the meister of cool in golf. And a few years ago, he showed up at the Masters in these kind of like deck shoes, these things that look like deck shoes. And, you know, up until now, shoes for golfers were kind of formal, nice, Oxford kind of things. Freddie looked like he just stepped off a yacht somewhere to play golf. But this, you know, this trend that he brought forward went crazy, went nuts. These Echo deck shoes. And so a little later in the hour, we're going to talk to the Senior Vice President for Canada, Todd Peterson, a little bit about it. And what happened? How did Freddie Couples launch a revolution in golf shoes? Because I can tell you, if you go to your golf course this weekend and looked around, you would see more often than not, especially with the guys, wearing the style of shoes that he originated just 4 years ago. So that's how quickly the market has turned around. We'll talk about that. I'm going to talk a little bit with, we're not personally talking to him because he's so important. He will not talk to us this afternoon. But this morning, Ian Leggett, former tour pro on the PGA Tour for Canada, talked to the boys, Walker and Brady, prefacing, I guess, a little bit the Canadian Open and also talking about what happened over the weekend with Rory McIlroy. So we'll have that for you in a few minutes. But first, yeah, let's talk about Rory. Now, I don't want to say that you're drawing conclusions here about losing your girlfriend, but Rory McIlroy made shares in eHarmony drop on the Dow Jones this morning.
I feel like I've come a long way in the past 18 months. A lot's happened to me on and off the golf course, and I think just my determination and hard work has really paid off.
On and off the course. Rory McIlroy. Yeah, well, he lost a girlfriend, the tennis player. Now, she has not played particularly well since they went their separate ways. But Rory, as you saw on the weekend, well, they call it the Open, but he closed them out pretty early. Yeah, there was two strokes at the end. But you know what? He was just playing with them. That was that sort of tortoise and the hare thing at the end. He was the man the whole weekend. Led wire to wire. And it was a dominating performance. By the way, he says he's going to perform for Ireland at the Olympics when they get to the Olympics. So all the British, maybe that the British weren't as excited about him because he doesn't want to represent them. But anyhow, it was a fantastic performance. It was a lot of fun to watch, too, because you had Sergio Garcia, a guy who is always Mr. Runner-up, Mr. Coulda, shoulda, woulda, putting on a good kick at the end, finishing two strokes back. Ricky Fowler, who is now my unofficial pick for the PGA next month, he finished tied with the Sergio Garcia at 15 under par. A really great performance. Now, there's a guy who cut his hair and got better. But I kind of like what I saw out of Fowler. I think he could be the guy to look at the PGA Tour. Jim Furyk, well, I don't even know if Jim Furyk's finished yet. They say he finished a 13-under, but the guy is so damn slow, he could still be out there lining up putts. You never know. He finished 13-under par. Adam Scott, nice performance. It was a great leaderboard. It was the best of the best. And Rory certainly outclassed them all. Now, afterwards, of course, a little chatting around. people asked him about being so far ahead. He was 7 strokes ahead at the start of the day, and then he got a little competition from Sergio.
I knew Sergio was getting pretty close, but I knew I still had the par fives coming up on the back nine, which gave me a little bit of peace of mind knowing that I could make a 4 on one or two of them and keep the lead at what it was.
And if you remember Saturday, when this was still a tournament, he had the 2 par fives and he eagled both of them, which, for all intents and purposes, meant you didn't have to get up early on Sunday morning because you knew which way the tournament was going. So Rory McIlroy looking, and as he mentioned, you know, on and off the course, these issues. And there was the issues, of course, last year when he pulled out of the tournament, said he had a sore tooth. Everybody thought that now he was a big prima donna, he was going to be this kind of guy, etc. But he seems to have overcome the adversity.
I made a little hiccup there on 5, 6, and 7, but I was able to right the ship a little bit, and the birdie on 10 was big.
It certainly was. I wish I'd added, but anyhow, he looked good, and now people are starting to talk about Rory McIlroy. Is he the logical successor to Tiger Woods? We'll talk about Tiger in a second. He finished 6 over, but is he the logical guy? Has he finally gotten to the point where we thought he was 2 years ago when Nike gave him the big clams and said, you know, you're ready to go? This is his 3rd major. He's won 1 of each. Only needs the Masters. I don't think anybody's feeling yet at the moment that he won't win a Masters. Is he there yet? Clearly, he knows the importance of having won 3 majors.
All I know is that I've won my 3rd major championship, and I'm, you know, 3 legs, you know, out of the 4 towards a career Grand Slam at 25. So I'm feeling pretty good right now.
And you have to think that with his style of play and his mental toughness, I mean, I don't think we've seen that kind of mental toughness out of anybody but Tiger. When he wins, he seems to win big. He seems to have that shut down everybody on the course. And if you listen to the guys as they come off the course and they said, well, we know what Rory can do when Rory gets in his head. And you can almost hear them saying the same thing as he used to say about Tiger. When Rory gets it in his head to win, it's going to be trouble. So it's going to be fun to watch. Will he take the momentum with him? Will he get the PGA? Will he get 2 majors? It'll be interesting to see what happens. Ricky Fowler, by the way, I should also mention, I said he was 15 under. He is one of only 2 guys who finished in the top 5 of all 3 majors so far this year. So you have to think maybe some contention there. All he needs to win maybe is a tournament or two. Could be in contention for player of the year. Now, if McIlroy wins again, that's a different thing. But Ricky Fowler certainly showed a lot of people this weekend some stuff. They'd always thought of him as a fancy pants guy with the hair and the Puma hats and all that sort of stuff. I think he showed people that he's a guy who's got the staying power. So we'll see what happens with him. I mentioned Tiger, 6 over par for the tournament. Not much competitive ability, not much competitive experience since the back operation. I think a lot of people are just amazed he was out there playing at any level whatsoever, considering the back operation. And, you know, most guys, you shoot 6 over par, nobody bothers you. You go off the course and you're in the rented car and at the airport in about 5 minutes. But with Tiger, of course, they always grab him and ask Tiger, give us some sense of what happened.
I know how to grind it out on these golf courses, and hitting the shots, I thought I could, you know, get around her. I did the first day, you know, after a bad start, I got it back. And unfortunately, as I said, I made too many mistakes with the doubles and triples.
I certainly did. And you know, I'm reading stuff. Tiger's finished. Look at where he is. He can't win the major. The guy won 5 tournaments last year. He was the player of the year last year, 2013. So, you know, if you want to throw dirt on him and say he's finished now at the age of 36, 37, if you want to say he's finished now, go ahead. But Phil Mickelson's 44, and we've seen the golf that Phil's put up in the last 6, 7 years. If Tiger's healthy, if the guy settles on one swing, if he doesn't go from one swing coach to the next, if he doesn't tear himself all up and get into other stuff off the course, he's got a chance. I don't think he's ever going to get as far as the record for Nicklaus's mark for the majors. I think it'll be an accomplishment if he wins another major in the rest of his career. But this idea that somehow this tournament, this weekend, showing him finishing up at 6 over par, says that he's had it, that he's finished, listen, doesn't work for me. Doesn't work for me. This is a guy who's mentally tough, who will not rest until he can play again and play at his level. So maybe the PGA, maybe that's the one you look at as the introduction to the new Tiger. Is after the back surgery, is he ready? We also should mention, by the way, with the Canadian Open coming up, a nice finish for David Hearn. He held on to finish 3 under par. Yeah, you know, it wasn't necessarily a finish that's going to get headlines around the country. But what it showed out of Hearn is that he's got some mental discipline. He was tough enough in that environment on the Sunday to hold himself in there. And if nothing else, get himself prepared for this weekend, because he and Graham Dillat, of course, will be the favorites as Canadians to win the Canadian Open. So you want to see a guy do that. Now, for people who don't know how this works, by the way, you're talking about the Canadians and all the guys who were over yesterday playing in England. How do they get to Canada? Well, the RCGA charters a plane, and everybody who wants to play in the British Open, the Open Championship, and then play next week in Canada, you can get onto that charter. And so David Hearn will have been one of the guys who was on the charter yesterday, heading back to Canada. Jim Furyk, all of the, you know, if you see, by the way, the RBC guys that got the RBC logo on their jerseys, Jim Furyk's one of them. They almost have to go and participate in the Canadian Open because, of course, Canadian Open is sponsored by RBC. If you get the money, you take the coin for putting the thing on your shirt, you're going to have to make the trip. It was funny a couple of years ago. Ernie Els is another one. And Ernie won the tournament. And I guess he celebrated a little bit too much. And so when we saw Ernie at the other end of the plane trip, it was kind of a fluid situation. But he got himself out there. You got to give him credit for coming over. I think he shot 77 the second day. Missed the cut in the Canadian Open. But hey, he showed up. That's his job. Rory McIlroy not playing in the Canadian Open, for those who are looking.
What?
I know. What a wimp, eh? He wins the Open Championship.
He only made $1.6 last weekend. You need some more money.
He's mailing it in.
Unbelievable.
Mailing it in. Well, it's a problem for the Canadian Open. This position is always going to be a problem. Guys are gearing their seasons, especially the top guys, they gear their seasons to the majors. So that they'll culminate in the Open Championship. Nobody's thinking about, oh, gee, well, if I miss the Open, I'll win the Canadian Open the next week. They don't think that way. They don't prepare that way. So it's not been a really good position for the Canadian Open. I don't see there being a change in the date. I don't see them being able to do that at any time soon. The sponsor is good. RBC is good. But the location in the schedule, who's going to move? If you get any further on, of course, then you get into the playoffs for the FedEx and all those events. And the sponsors for those pay enormous bucks to be part of that. So right now, if you're a Canadian fan, and maybe someday we'll get the Canadian Open here in Calgary. Maybe. Certainly the corporate support is here. But if you're a fan of Canadian golf, you're just going to get a lot of guys who look really tired from a plane trip. And then a bunch of Canadian guys. So, by the way, Roger Sloan, I don't know if you noticed a few weeks ago, Roger Sloan, good Canadian boy, won the Web.com Tour event in Nova Scotia.
I saw that, actually, yeah.
Turned down the opportunity to play in the Canadian Open. Said, more important for me to concentrate on the 25s, as he called it. Because in the Web.com, top 25 guys, you're going to get the card the next week. So Sloan basically said, I'd love to be there, folks, but I got to concentrate on playing in front of 45 people, which is basically what a Web.com Tour event is going to have. So we'll see what happens. Good for him. Lots of Canadians in the field. We'll talk a little bit more about that. As I say, coming up, we're going to have Ian Leggett, former Tour Pro, Canadian who won on the PGA Tour. We're going to have him talking with the boys in the Fan 590 about the golf weekend and what's to come. And then we'll have Roger Peterson from Echo. And Rob Kerr joins us at 2 o'clock. Now, he's been down to Stamps practice. Tough news there about John Cornish. Apparently, he's had a setback on his concussion.
Him and Keon Raymond both not on the field today.
Yeah, but I don't know that Keon had a setback. I think
no.
He's just still where he's at.
Yeah, well, the Huff announcing that him and Daron Mayo have actually flipped statuses.
Ah.
Looks like Mayo might be ready for Thursday in Edmonton. Raymond likely out.
Ah. And that's, it's a big game, and Keon is such an important part of the team, not just on the field, but off the field. He represents the continuity for this franchise. But the John Cornish thing has to be concerning now. We're going to talk, I'm sure, with Rob about the CFL. Just what a dumpster fire it's become lately. This year, it's bad. And the fact that some hack can come across and do the clothesline on the most valuable Canadian player in the league, one of the top five offensive players in the league, and come across with the kind of hit that he laid on John Cornish at that stage of the game, and to get the punishment he got, which is to say nothing. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And now we're seeing, and you know, from the Sidney Crosby episode and many other episodes, we're seeing what's the predictable thing, what happens with these guys when you have these concussions. So we'll keep our fingers for John Cornish, keep our fingers crossed for Cornish that he's, you know, this is only one small setback and he gets back at it. But when you see those things, all of a sudden your time frame goes to maybe 1 week, to sometimes 6 weeks, or maybe 2 months. So we'll hope that doesn't happen. Stamps have shown that they have a little bit of depth at running back, obviously. But as we saw in I hasten to use the expression, big win over Hamilton. The nudging win over Hamilton Tiger Cats. Not a lot of offense the other day. Not a lot of points. And it's not like he could say, oh, well, you know, all the chances we missed. They didn't miss a lot of chances. They just didn't have a lot going. So we'll keep our eyes peeled on that. Rob will be in to talk some of that. I know he also wants to talk about an interesting situation. For the first time since 1983, a Major League Baseball team that had the number one draft pick failed to sign their player. The Houston Astros failing to sign the number one pick in the draft from last year, or from this year, actually. And why is that significant? Well, as I say, no one has had that happen since 1983. Can you imagine the team that drafted Sidney Crosby or the team that drafts first overall and not signing a number one overall pick at the NHL?
It's like if the Avalanche couldn't sign McKinnon.
Yeah, sure. All of the guys, just name the guys, right?
Yeah.
If Connor McDavid next year decides, I'm not signing with the, who will it be? The Vancouver Canucks. Whoever's the worst team in the NHL. Whoever he has the chance with. So Rob's going to look into that. We're going to try and talk a little bit about that. Talk some Blue Jays. Interesting this morning, a little bit of news this morning, talking about how the internal dialogue at the Blue Jays seems to be that there's no new money coming in. If you want to make a trade, Alex Anthopoulos, we're not taking on extra money. We're going to do baseball trades, player for player, but we're not going to take on a ton of money, which should be interesting because the Blue Jays certainly need some help. They need a second baseman. They need some depth. The division is still there for them, as bad as it's been, as mediocre as they've been at times, the division is still there for them. Nobody's perfect in that division. They're between the rock and the hard place. You know, we could maybe trade off Batista or Encarnacion or somebody and possibly get some value for them. On the other hand, we could still make the playoffs. Tough spot to be in. I don't get the sense that people in Toronto think the Blue Jays are for real. I don't get a sense of excitement or momentum about it. But that could all change if they put on a 10-game winning streak, which we saw them do earlier in the year. So we'll talk a little bit about that with Rob Kerr. What else has he got?
Well, he loves his Blue Jays, by the way.
I know he does. So I'll get into his kitchen.
Tigers. Going to go to Detroit.
Yes.
They haven't signed anybody this year. Red Wings have not improved. Why? We'll talk about that. And then, of course, we're going to talk to Chris Johnson from Sportsnet.ca to talk about some of the arbitration cases in the NHL right now. We're starting to see some dollar values come out as teams get set to go into arbitration.
It's interesting about arbitration. I talked to a couple of agents today because I knew we were doing this and called a couple of the guys who I trust. And arbitration used to be the biggest hammer in the NHL. In the early, like 2000 to 2004, that was how the players got the salary spiral up. They used salary arbitration to do that. The NHL hated it so much, it was one of the reasons for the 2004 lockout. And now it's kind of like, it's nobody ever even goes into the hearing room anymore.
Nope.
They talk.
You see deals signed like hours before.
Yeah. The old courthouse steps.
Yeah.
So some of the insight was there. I think one of the reasons for that, too, and we'll talk about it with Rob a bit, is that with the free agency backed up to 27, there's fewer years where your eligibility for arbitration is even there, and thus fewer cases, etc. And mostly now it's just the mutts and the mongrels who are in there, you know, trying to get a little bit more money from their team.
And speaking of Detroit, did you see the renderings of their new rink?
I didn't. And now it's right downtown, right?
Yes.
They're committed to downtown.
It's about 4 blocks north of Comerica.
Okay. So that, and that's right across the street from Ford Field as well. They're all, if you've never been to Detroit, all the sports teams except for the Pistons are right downtown within about a square mile of each other. Yeah, that'll be interesting. And there's a franchise that needs the money out of the seats. And it's also one that's in a transition phase. There's no Nick Lidstrom no more. There's no more Stevie Y. The draft picks, the sixth-round draft picks that helped them so much with Datsyuk and Zetterberg, they haven't struck lightning there lately either. So lots going on. When we come back here on The Big Show, Bruce Dobigan with you, by the way, when we come back, we'll hear Ian Leggett talking about the weekend in golf and taking a look forward to the Canadian Open.
If it's on the 200 by 85, it's right here first. Calgary's home for the National Hockey League. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Talking sports in the afternoon. This is The Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Today's pop quiz, and you can probably answer it yourself. Bruce Dobigan here with you, by the way, the Doughboy. Who are the three players to have won majors? Three majors before the age of 25. Well, you know one, because he won yesterday. That's Rory McIlroy. Tiger Woods, that's an easy one, too. Who was the third? Some unknown guy by the name of Jack Nicklaus. I guess that gives you the perspective about Rory McIlroy's win yesterday. He's put himself in the category of greatness. Perhaps in 15 years, we'll look back and say this was the sign he was going on to greater things. Or we can look back and say, what happened after that? Who knows? But Rory McIlroy has put himself in that. It was fun to watch yesterday, too, because every time you saw Rory, he's wearing the Nike swoosh. And, of course, Tiger is the one who made the Nike swoosh synonymous with golf. Who will ever forget the golf ball hovering on the 16th, just on the edge of the hole, hovering just briefly, shivering a little bit, and then dropping it? The great Nike transition. And now, of course, Rory McIlroy wearing all the same swoosh, reminding people of the same sort of thing. So, obviously, a guy who is on the doorstep of history, whether he'll take the next step is quite interesting. One of the guys you should know a little bit, who played on the PGA Tour, won on the PGA Tour. Now we're working with Sportsnet, Ian Leggett. This morning, he joined Brady and Walker, guest host Eric Smith and Andrew Walker, and they talked to Ian a little bit about the past weekend and what's coming up with the Canadian Open.
Your impressions yesterday, Ian, of Rory's final round. He went in with a 6-stroke lead. He leaves with a 2-stroke win, but it really didn't feel like he was in doubt.
No, it didn't. I think he kind of hit the nail on the head. I mean, what have you done since you're 25 years old? And the one thing about Rory, if you look at it, is how he actually won that golf tournament. I mean, he comes in playing off the Scottish Open, and can't get over the hurdle of second-round scoring. And a couple times, both on Saturday, he lost the lead, and Sunday, getting Sergio 2 shots off the lead, he never once faltered. And I think when you look at rolling the clock back to 2011 and him shooting 80, the final round, as a 21-year-old, what that would have done to any other 21-year-old, and the last, 18, 19 months, what he's been through with the scrutiny of changing equipment, the breakup, with his fiance, all those kind of things, pile that on top of each other for him to go out and perform the way he did this weekend is pretty remarkable.
Ian, to that point, we were chatting about this a little bit earlier, the mental strength and the mental, force that he showed, I suppose, in not only winning this tournament, but to get himself back on track. Because you just went through everything that he's been through, from equipment to personal life to everything else, to be at this point, to hold off a charge by Sergio like he maybe didn't do, as you mentioned, in 2011. What about the mental strength that it takes, let alone the physical component that allowed him to win this tournament?
Well, I think what it is, he's been searching for one of the swing keys, whatever it might have been. It's all, quite often with tour players, it's a feeling. And I think he's been searching for that something that he hasn't been able to tap into. Like he had mentioned, he says, I wish I could figure out what this is all the time. And when any tour player is struggling, all they have to do is make one golf swing, and there is a sort of a mental trigger that goes on that puts them in a calmer place because they're so confident with their golf swing. So, and then when you tack it on to a guy like Rory McIlroy, who arguably is the most talented player on the PGA Tour right now, his ability to compress a golf ball, his short game, you know, the way he manages himself on the golf course. I think you put those all together, that's sort of where the place that Rory McIlroy got on the weekend.
I'm Andrew Walker. He is Eric Smith. We're joined by Sportsnet's Ian Leggett. And I think you're right. You look at the number one golfer in the world right now, rankings-wise, and that is Adam Scott. Maybe it changes here with this. But when Adam Scott is at his best, when Rory McIlroy is at his best, when, I don't know, Henrik Stenson's at his best, there's really no comparison, is there?
Well, I'm not really sure. I mean, I think he can put Adam Scott in that category. I think when Rory McIlroy is at his best, it's pretty impressive. I mean, his, you know, like I said, his distance off the tee is unbelievable, but Adam Scott has that ability. I think those two are very, very closely aligned, and that's, you know, people are talking about the TV ratings and Tiger being away and how there's been sort of a lull in the game of golf as far as viewership goes. But I think it's one of the most exciting times. I mean, you just think of the players right now that are aligned to be world number one. And it's going to change a lot over the next 10 years. It could change week to week. With Rory McIlroy, Adam Scott, Justin Rose, Martin Keimer, you can put Ricky Fowler in there. I mean, it's a pretty exciting time as this sort of new era transcends into what we have as the quality of players, exciting players, too. It's not like you've got, you know, five Jason Duffners lined up, you know, vying for world number one. You've got really exciting players that are going to be beating each other up for the next 10 to 15 years.
So obviously the golf world has a love and hate type of feel with Sergio Garcia. I get it. I've always had a bit of a soft spot for him, but I know he's acted like a dink at times. Yeah. But I've never thought that Sergio was going to retire without having a major championship. I still feel that way. Do you feel he's getting closer? He seems to be really in the mix these days.
He is. I mean, week in and week out. I think he's in a different place mentally. If you look at, you know, 2000 and I think it was 2009 or 2007 was when he finished runner-up to Padraig Harrington. And, you know, he should have won that tournament. He was destroyed by that. He acted immaturely afterwards. And, you know, we've seen it after the Masters, after he's missed cuts. And you're right. But you saw a different Sergio Garcia on Sunday. You know, even though, you know, he left it in the bunker and, you know, normally we'd see, you know, a little temper tantrum come out of that and his head down, but he grinded it out to the bitter end. And I think we've seen a new, we're seeing a new Sergio, a guy who looks like he's having fun, but still is, you know, on the edge all the time. And that's exciting for the game of golf. I mean, if you're looking for someone to, you know, sort of fill the shoes of it, Tiger Woods and the way they play the game, you've got a couple guys that play the game like that in, you know, Ricky Fowler and Sergio Garcia.
Ian, it seems we can't have a conversation without mentioning Tiger Woods. And you were talking about some of those young players that are on the tour now. It seems like when you watch, you get these young guys now that are playing that, as much as they respect what Tiger has done and who he is or who he still could be again one day, they're not necessarily intimidated by him. They kind of have their own, I'm not even going to call it cockiness, but their own confidence about their own games that they're maybe not drawn into the same lure or luster that Tiger once provided and that imposing shadow that he put over the course.
Yeah, and I think a lot of guys knew that. When you went to the tee on Sunday with Tiger Woods, if you were close and you're playing in that last group, you're already starting two over par just because of that intimidation factor, as you said. But, you know, Tiger's got a couple chinks in his armor that, you know, he's gone through between injuries and, you know, the crazy madness that's gone in his life for the last few years, that he's you know, not the same guy. And Tiger knows he's not the same guy. I think mentally he might like to think he is, but from a physical standpoint, I don't think that he actually is. And so, like you said, I think there is an element that other players, when they go to the first tee with Tiger Woods, they know they've got a chance.
Ian Leggett, our guest. I want to ask you quickly about David Hearn, the Brantford, Ontario native. He was a late add, and he played very solidly, makes the cut, and gets a nice pay.
Impressive, too, is, I mean, it's a different movie. I mean, that's a difficult situation to get thrown into to fly, you know, 6 hours and playing that type of a golf course. As he said, he's never played in a British Open before or ever played that type of a golf course. So, fortunately for him, you know, the conditions stayed down, and he didn't see the, you know, the harsh, you know, tragic conditions that we can get at a British Open, and therefore we saw those really low scores. But
it seemed he was relaxed, didn't it? It was just kind of house money?
Yeah, I mean, for him, he's, you know what, David's the kind of guy, when he's got his game on, it doesn't matter where he is. He just kind of plays the game of golf. He doesn't do anything great. He just does everything really nicely. So you put the whole package together, you're going to see a guy at times, you know, play really well. And I think it bodes well for him coming into the Canadian Open this week.
There you go, Ian Leggett this morning, talking on Brady and Walker. Andrew Walker along with Eric Smith. Talking a little bit at the end there, as I say, about the Canadian. I guess he's probably the 1A hopeful for Canada at the Open. Next to Graham Dillat. Dillat had to be disappointed. I think he has to be disappointed by this year. He's come into the year. Everyone's talked about him as being such a great ball striker, that he was on the cusp, etc. And you're looking for that defining tournament for Dillat this year, and it hasn't happened yet. And it's going to be tough for him this year, because you're going to have everybody in the world at the Open saying, hey, you know, you're the best chance to win. What's going to happen? It's so hard for that for a guy to perform in that sort of situation. But Dillat needs a defining performance this year, I think, for him. And he's got to be disappointed that it hasn't happened. Of course, he's got a connection here in Calgary. Graham Dillat spent some time here, but he won the Alberta at the ATB, rather. The ATB down at Sirocco, he won it a couple of years ago. I think he was minus 22, 24. In fact, they will be at Sirocco next week. The ATB, the Canadian Tour, what is now called the PGA Canadian Tour, will be at Sirocco next week, Thursday through Sunday. Some of the top young Canadian players, some other international players, going to be playing here in Calgary as well. So, you know, Graham Dillat came out of that situation. He can also... Maybe we'll see another guy come out of that situation. We'll be talking about him in 5 years. Just so you know, for the Canadian Open this weekend, some of the highlights, the people who have decided to show up. Matt Kuchar, another guy who's having a really good year, but again, without that defining performance. And for him, a defining performance has to be a major. Graham McDowell will be along, Luke Donald, Ernie Els, Charles Schwartzel, Hunter Mahan, Dustin Johnson. So I guess the Gretzkys will show up. And Jim Furyk. Apparently, he has finished at the Open Championship.
Oh, he has?
Yes. Apparently, he did make the plane, just barely. He had to look at that last putt about 73 different ways. 13 under par, though. We laugh, but he's a good golfer. He's an excellent golfer. So he'll be alongside. As for Canadians, well, we mentioned David Hearn. Brad Fritsch, who's been playing very nicely, getting some nice finishes this year. Stephen Ames will be along, Calgary's own. And then Mike Weir, who had a nice second-place finish earlier in the season. Wouldn't that just be the bee's knees if Mike Weir, after all these years of being the great hope, who couldn't win the Canadian Open, all of a sudden pulled one off? It's not likely. I mean, his game isn't 1,000% these days, but what a just a blast from the past that would be. A defending champion is Brant Snedeker, and they're playing, of course, this weekend at the Royal Montreal Golf Course. 15 Canadians, 11 past champions will be in the field for the Canadian Open. When we come back after the break, by the way, we're going to talk a little bit about Freddie Couples, who's coming here for the Shaw Classic, the Champions Tour event that's coming in here in August. And one of the great things that Freddie does, everything he does is cool. I mean, every golfer would like to be Freddie with that cool swing, the way he carries himself. And the great story about how Freddie just one of these days at the Masters said, you know what, my feet are a little tired. I don't want to wear a formal shoe. And he just goes on the course wearing deck shoes, or at least what looks like a deck shoe. In fact, it was a revolution he was starting, a very subtle one, but a revolution he started. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that, how that happened and how the Echo shoe people were overwhelmed by the popularity, didn't expect it, didn't see it coming. I mentioned earlier as well about the Stampeder situation. Just if you didn't hear it before, Keon Raymond not playing on Thursday in Edmonton. John Cornish, a setback from his concussion recovery, not even at the building today. Daron Mayo looks like he will play on Thursday, so he's made some progress. And John Huffnagel basically being John Huffnagel, which is to say he'll tell you when he needs to tell you. Which is probably 25 minutes after the media really wants it. But there you go. That's all coming up. We'll have a little bit of audio there. As well, Rob Kerr had a chance to sit down with Bo Levi Mitchell, or as they call him up in Edmonton, Bi-Level Mitchell, named after the bridge. You know, a competent performance the other night. Didn't knock anybody's socks off, but so far this year he's looked like he's earned the number one position. Honestly, I thought at some point we might see the backup quarterback the other night. Maybe spark somebody. Talk with Rob Kerr about that. Obviously, John Huffnagel had his reasons to stick with Mitchell. Some people thought he was going to go through the year, kind of alternating guys, back, forth, who have you got, who's hot, etc. So far, Drew Tate has not had that chance to come in and run the offense. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But as I say, when we come back, talk a little bit about Freddie Couples. That's after this.
We are with Calgary sports fans through thick and thin. Here's hoping we have more thick than thin coming our way. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
To talk to Rob Kerr over the next 3 hours about that. Well, actually, I'll listen to Rob over the next 3 hours. I'll nod sagely because he's never wrong. So what can I add?
Weiner says I'm never wrong.
Well, that's it.
Right.
So I will just
you know,
be nodding.
I'm coming in to listen to you talk.
Well,
because I could listen to you read the phone book.
We're going to have to get a sound effect for me nodding my head because I want the audience to know I'm still here. And because there's nothing else I can add, it'll just be like, meh. That's me nodding my head.
I am Rob's not concerned about that at all.
No, you're not, are you? Okay. So he'll be joining us in a couple of minutes. I got to get out of here for a few minutes. I have to do a pre-interview somewhere else. And then I'll be back to lace into him. Rob Kerr, Bruce Dobigan. It's the big show. Is it still a big show when you're on it?
I have no idea. Whatever you want.
It's still a big show. Okay, Rob Kerr, Bruce Dobigan. Still the big show coming up after this.
Sports at 960. Sounding good on the radio and even better on your phone. Download the Rogers Radio app and take Sportsnet 960 The Fan everywhere.